Okay. And Ida.
Okay, so we talked
She was an amazing
woman. Yeah, she was.
Woman.
She could do a lot of stuff. And I remember she told me that when the kids were little, she needed to sew. She had a playpen thing. She'd put it around her and the sewing machine and keep the kids out. Rather than the other way around. Uh-huh. She let them run around and she was safe because they wouldn't stick their fingers in the needle.
Did you hear anything about her trip to China, or was that before you were born?
That was, well, of course, way before I was born, but she didn't talk about it much, except that I knew she was in Guangzhou, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was Hangzhou then, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that she taught there for a lot of years, and that it was, I know Tish went there to see it later, and it was a lovely city, apparently. But I don't know much more than what's in the book, except, as I say, I remember going to Rochester and having them come, some of them come to New York. I think, I know Chuck came in with Peg, and
so, Ruth, tell me a little bit about the role that your house in Bronxville played when people would come and go internet trips
and
come back to New York. And
anybody who ventured in the general vicinity got on the train and came to Bronxville. And I remember one of Daddy's relatives from England came in the middle of July in a flannel suit with a stomacher.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And he came out to Bronxville. Mother didn't know why he wasn't dead. It was so hot, you know, because it was so humid and all. And it was quite normal for him to be dressed like that.
Isn't that, of course, they didn't have central heating in Britain.
But they also didn't have any air conditioning.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
This was in the middle of July, and she couldn't see how he could possibly stand it. But he didn't
flannel
take anything
suit.
Off. Well, tweed or flannel,
yes,
whatever it was.
Sure.
And I don't remember who he was, but he was some relation. And then 1939 was the year of the World's Fair, the first year of the World's Fair. And they were still taking a ferry boat across to Long Island. And then eventually they built the Whitestone Bridge. And I remember all of that. So we bought season tickets. And then the parade began. And I think Mother had 33 house guests that summer.
Wow.
And she was happy to do it. And, of course, Karen was around. Thank God. If without Karen, we never would have been able to do it. And so I moved to the attic. I had a bedroom up there. And the guest room was in general rotation.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember who all came, but I know there were 33 house guests.
Wow.
Because Mother kept track. And so then we went to the fair
now,
almost every day.
I was going to say, did you go with some of your guests to the World's
Fair?
Yeah,
we had season tickets, so that wasn't a big deal. That's when my father made the recording. And I remember the Ford City of Tomorrow with the cars going every which way. And the Kitchen of Tomorrow for GE. And Billy Rose's Aquacade. And stuff like that I remember quite clearly. And it was a big deal. So
the focus was on the visions of the future.
Absolutely, yeah. And they had the pylon and the Paris something rather. It was a ball and a spear. And, so, 1939, I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we spent a lot of time there, and I thought that was pretty exciting. And, then the next summer, Mother said, when John and Ann Wickenden came from Canada, here are the keys, the sheets are lying on the bed, you can have the house. And we left for Ogunquit. And, she wasn't running any hotel that summer.
No.
And she sent Karen on a vacation.
Well, it gets pretty old, washing the sheets every time, putting them back on the beds, the towels, you know, the food.
Well, as I say, fortunately she had Karen. And
so
I don't recall that anybody was imposing on us. You know, I don't think that was a big problem. I think we were really glad to have them because it was a lot of fun for us.
Oh, I bet.
That was
the
year Charlotte came and Peg and Chuck. And I don't know who all else can. I can't remember. There were so many of them. And so that's when Ann and I got to know all the cousins.
Mm. Yeah.
And we were the only two who met them all. And because we were so centrally located,
yeah,
you know, that it was convenient to do that. And so I'm pleased that that happened, mm-hmm. you know, because I really enjoyed them all.
I remember reading, I think, in the memoir book, I think it was Art and his wife, Ethel, I guess, who went to Europe. And they stopped in the New York, New Jersey area for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure they
both
visited.
Both coming and going.
Your family.
And my father, they asked my father to take care of their car while they were gone, and, you know, that kind of thing.
That's not surprising, but they visited everybody en route. And I don't know how long they were gone, but I do remember them visiting too. And yeah, so they would certainly have gone to New Jersey. And, you know, a lot of people that came to us went to you too. But
mm-hmm.
went to
sure, your they were pretty close.
Grandfather
together.
Too. But I'm trying to think. So where were we? We were, we got down to Alice, I didn't know very well. Tish, I know well because she lived in Woodland Hills. And she lived, when we first moved to California, she lived in San Marino, she uh-huh. and Owen, and then they moved to Encino,
mm-hmm.
and then they moved to Woodland Hills, and then they moved to Idlewild, and then they moved to...
Up on the mountain there.
And then
Palm
they moved
Springs.
Here. Yeah. And they lived here for, almost 20 years. Owen died, and then Tish moved into the lodge, and I saw her 3 weeks before she died, and then about less than a month after that, Debbie moved in. Too bad. She just was hoping to make it while her mom was alive, but that didn't work.
Didn't work.
And so Alice lived in Michigan, and she was the registrar at the Western Michigan University or something, University of Western Michigan or something. And then she was married to, I can't remember his first name, somebody St. Clair, and they had four daughters. One of who lives in Minneapolis and is a chiropractor. I'm on Facebook friends with her. And one became a Sikh.
No kidding.
Yeah, she married a
Sikh.
I
didn't know you could do that. Oh, yeah. Married a Sikh. And she converted.
And she became one, yeah. And eventually she left him and it. And I'm not sure whether she was a nurse or what, but it was interesting. I had a Sikh nurse at St. John's. When I had some eye surgery, and very nice, but you know it's kind of interesting. She's in this turban going
right
into the ceiling.
Yeah, they all have those turbans.
That's the uniform they wore.
Yeah, I met a woman in the park in Chicago when we were visiting, and she had a scarf on, but I thought maybe it was a turban. So I asked her, "Is that a religious thing?" No, she said it's just a scarf.
Tie my hair down. Yeah, well, anyway, I don't remember the name of that one, but there were four girls, and I think one of them died, but there, anyway, Judy St. Clair is on Facebook with me. So then we got Bill, and he's a year and a half older than I am, and he died about a year ago, and I was at his wedding in Cambridge, and Tom Winans was there. I don't know why Tom was in Boston, but that was his last day before he got shipped out to Korea.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so that was the day I met Alan. And
what a day.
Yeah, it was a big day. And
so when you first met Alan, I mean, did you know he was somebody you wanted to marry? Or
I didn't even remember that I met him.
Oh, okay.
He followed me home.
recognized you as somebody very important.
I guess so. I was told, well, first of all, I was so mad at my friend who made me go to the party. Because I didn't have a date and she did, and I thought that wasn't fair.
That isn't fair.
And I wasn't a happy camper, and I guess I met him and danced with him or did
something
anyway.
That impressed him.
And the next thing I know, he hops out of the car when I'm getting out of the car, my friend's car, and says, "Can I have your phone number?" And his date sitting in the front seat. I'm, what kind of a deal is this?
No
so
kidding.
Anyway, this was the beginning of the social club called the Sits and Jibbers. That still goes in Boston.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I thought, well, when Hyder went there and his residency, maybe he'd be interested in joining this singles group. So he checked it out. He said, "You're going to laugh." He said, "You have to be 45 to join." After 65 years, you have to be older. Anyway, so that was the beginning of it. I didn't understand it as what that was, but
mm-hmm.
I found out later. And so I used to say he chased me till... I chased him till he caught me.
There you go.
Or he followed me home and I kept him. And he, don't say that. You know? Anyway, But Bill married a gal from Cambridge, and she was nuts, unfortunately. Really nuts. But he has two boys, one of whom I hope will write something, Will. And the other one, I can't think of his name. Rob, I think his name is. And Gwen has met them when she was back at Sarah Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he worked for Chase National Bank, and so did John. John was a major economist for Chase, and then this guy was, you know, in a more junior position, but lived in Greenwich. And Nancy, his wife, had plenty of money, so I guess didn't matter what he earned.
Mm.
And anyway, he just died about 3 years ago. So Debbie, everybody in the whole family went back for his memorial service. And I didn't know Bill very well. I only met him once or twice. But Debbie knew him pretty well because he was her closest uncle. So, okay, so that's that takes